Kia ora, Mr. Speaker. As a Chinese who immigrated to New Zealand only 13 years ago, I feel extremely honored standing here before you all to give my maiden statement today. Firstly, I would like to thank the Chinese community for their encouragement and support. 广大的华人华侨朋友们，我感谢你们的一贯支持和厚爱，这一刻也属于你们。 I am grateful to my colleagues at the University of Auckland, particularly the staff of the Department of Political Studies. Special thanks goes to Professor Barry Gustafson and Professor Raymond Miller, from whom I learned a great deal about New Zealand politics, and who both encouraged me to step out of theoretical politics and into real politics. I thank the board directors of the National Party for their trust. In particular, I thank our President, Peter Goodfellow. I cannot overstate Peter's help in the past few months. I also thank my party colleagues for their warm welcome and support. And I thank the Prime Minister for his trust and guidance. Most of all, I thank my family, my parents in China who cannot be here today, my wife Jane, and my daughters Susie and Evelyn. I fully understand the sacrifices my family have to make, and it was not an easy decision to leave Ivory Tower and jump into the turbulent sea of real politics. Thank you, Jane, Susie, and Evelyn, for your love and trust. Mr. Speaker, as the Prime Minister noted in his first speech to the new Parliament, the National Party was the first party in New Zealand to have a Chinese MP. I would like to take this opportunity and acknowledge the achievement of Honourable Peng Siwon. My election into Parliament lays down yet another milestone in the history of Chinese immigrants in New Zealand. I am the first national MP who is an immigrant from mainland China. The Chinese community in New Zealand has experienced rapid growth in the past 2 to 3 decades. We are attracted by, among other things, New Zealand's second-to-none environment, democratic political system, equal economic opportunities, and stable society. Mr. Speaker, as an immigrant who witnessed and experienced the many political upheavals in China, I do not take any of the benefits I'm enjoying now for granted. My grandfather was a general of the Chinese Nationalist Party, or KMT, which is today the ruling party in Taiwan. When the Communist Party came to power in China in 1949, my grandfather lost all his property, was imprisoned, and lived in poverty for the rest of his life. In the first 30 years of the People's Republic of China, the Chinese government launched one political movement after another, climaxing with the Great Proletarian Revolution beginning in 1966. The revolution left behind millions of political victims, including my parents, who were sent to the countryside to be re-educated by peasants. In 1978, under the rule of Deng Xiaoping, China made the historic decision to reform and open up. Capitalism began to flourish. Deng's virtue of pragmatism is highlighted by his most famous quotation, quote, "I don't care if it's a white cat or a black cat. It's a good cat as long as it catches mice," end quote. In that same year of 1978, I passed the newly restored higher education examination and became part of a small group of high school graduates who went on to university. The change in China since 1978 has been awe-inspiring. China today is a different world. But the journey has certainly not all been smooth. In April 1989, a great opportunity was opened up for me when I received a scholarship from the Johns Hopkins University in America. However, in the weeks following, student demonstrations swept China. The Chinese government's policy change afterwards prevented me from leaving to study in the United States. Fortunately for China, after a period of hesitation, the government decided to continue its reformation. In 1994, I started my postgraduate study in Australia. And in 1999, I completed my PhD and began my work at the University of Auckland. My experiences reiterate the inescapable influence of politics on our lives and greatly contrast the deep value placed on political rights and freedom that we enjoy in New Zealand. For this reason, I appreciate the National Party's commitment to democratic principles and individual freedom and choice. Politics and economics are two areas difficult to differentiate. Between 1949 and 1978, China was a socialist country with a planned economy. The Chinese people were called upon to march towards a communist utopia, where everyone should contribute to society to the best of his or her need, her ability, and consume from society in proportion to his or her need. That is, quote, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. Socialist economy, a socialist economic policy, did not aid China. By the year of my birth in 1962, China had wiped out private ownership in an effort to build a socialist economy. A horrific famine had just passed with the death of millions of people. In those years, everyone was equal, but everyone was poor. The most spectacular present that I received for my 10th birthday was two eggs for breakfast. By 1978, the Chinese economy was on the verge of collapse. It was at that critical moment that the Chinese government started economic reforms, salvaging the economy just in time. Market economy was introduced. Entrepreneurship was encouraged. The irrational pursuit of income equality was abolished. A popular official slogan at the time was 谁先富谁光荣, meaning it is glorious to become rich before others. We are all aware of China's enormous economic growth since that pivotal year of 1978. China has risen to become the second largest economy in the world. The Chinese government has successfully lifted millions of people out of poverty. Reflecting on the way in which China has achieved its positive change and development gives me a firm belief that the policies of the National Party are in the best interests of New Zealand. We give priority to economic growth, and to achieve this growth, we emphasize the importance of personal responsibility, competitive enterprise, and reward for achievement. These are all values shared by the Chinese community and many other New Zealanders. The Chinese were the third racial group to settle in New Zealand after the Maori and European. Most of them came as gold miners in the second half of the 19th century. Historian Michael King said, quote, once in New Zealand, the Chinese who persisted despite the poll tax and considerable prejudice proved themselves to be law-abiding and hard-working citizens, end quote. We should not undervalue the contribution of the Chinese community to New Zealand. Not only has the Chinese community contributed economically, they have also enriched the lives of all New Zealanders through the celebration of Chinese arts, cuisine, and traditions. Every year, about 200,000 people from different ethnic communities came to the Auckland Lantern Festival as part of Chinese New Year celebrations. To the Chinese, strong work ethics coupled with good education are the two key elements to success. Surveys show that Chinese immigrants are often well-educated, and it is no secret that Chinese children generally do well at school. The New Zealand Herald noted in April last year that, quote, if education is our future, Chinese minds will be prominent in shaping New Zealand's destiny, end quote. This again reinforces the Chinese community's vital role in the future development of our country. The Chinese community's value in education echoes that of the National Party. We are committed to offering the best education to all New Zealanders, and we believe education provides the ability for all to move forward. Despite the successes of the Chinese in New Zealand, all new immigrants need time to adapt to a new country. Considering their Eastern cultural background, it may be more challenging for Chinese immigrants to adapt to our mainly Western society. It is in the best interests of all of us to give them more support in this respect. On the other hand, all immigrants should themselves try to integrate. Chinese immigrants are no exception. Members of Chinese community should not only learn the languages and cultures of mainstream society, but also be willing to sacrifice for the country. It is pleasing to note the global trend among overseas Chinese is to move away from 落叶归根, fallen leaves return to the roots, fallen leaves return to the roots, but towards 落地生根, to grow roots where they land. The mentality of sojournism is no longer dominant. Many Chinese, including my family, gave up their Chinese citizenship and proudly became New Zealand citizens. Mr. Speaker, we are Kiwis, although made in China. The Chinese immigrants do have a strong desire for recognition and integration, which is why they have been actively involved in philanthropy and politics. They have been generous in their donations to the victims of the Christchurch earthquake. There were also a record number of Chinese candidates in the most recent general election. Mr. Speaker, I feel truly honored to be a National Party representative of the Chinese community. I hope to see more Chinese in Parliament as the community is still underrepresented. Mr. Speaker, the rise of China has given New Zealand an ideal opportunity. China is now our second largest trading partner. Our trade with East Asia, especially China, played a crucial role in our effort to deal with the global financial crisis in recent years. In this respect, Chinese residents' connection with China is a great asset to New Zealand. The connection has generated many economic opportunities, and there is still a great potential. As a Chinese immigrant, I will act as a bridge between the Chinese community and our mainstream society. I will also endeavor to contribute to the strengthening of New Zealand relations with China. What is more, my background and experiences render me capable of making contributions in many other areas, be it education, foreign affairs, ethnic affairs, or health. To conclude, the values held by me and many Chinese New Zealanders are parallel to those of the National Party and other New Zealanders. These include equal citizenship and equal opportunity, individual freedom of choice, personal responsibility, and reward for achievement. As a father of two, I see it as my responsibility to provide a safe and prosperous environment for my children to grow up in. With the National Party, I look forward to a brighter future. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.